At Christmas dinner, we were laughing because actually it was after Christmas dinner and we were watching a football game. I think that's what the story was. And we were laughing because the TV commercial that came up was this commercial, you remember it, where the fellow stands before the car leasing counter, and he says, I have a car arranged, and the young lady behind the counter says, yes, I'll punch it up on the computer, and a boxing glove comes up, and she smashes the computer screen, and we were laughing about that. I think we saw that commercial three or four times at least. Well, I was punching up, not in that sense anyway, on my computer, the Christmas letter that I had written a year ago. And I was reminded of my own weariness when I went through that letter, because in the midst of that letter that I had punched up on the computer, I had made the statement that I had just about thrown in the towel as far as Westminster Evangelistic Ministries was concerned. Now, this was a Christmas letter a year ago. And I was reminded of that, of course, when I brought it up on the computer to write a Christmas letter for this past year. And I was reminded of the fact that I was discouraged because it seemed like the money was not there, and I was discouraged because it seemed like the moral support was not there. And I really did. And this would be a year and a half ago now. I just about threw in the towel on that. And what I needed was faith that endured, faith that worked, and in the end faced that, what seems now a small crisis, which loomed larger at that time. I needed that kind of faith that endured. And we all face such crises in our lives, and we need endurance. And the text which is before us this morning leads us in that very direction. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 3. For consider him, that is Jesus, for consider him who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you may not grow weary and lose heart. In keeping with this text, I've written this little thesis statement that the enduring faith you need is produced as you really think about Jesus Christ. Think about Jesus. Consider him, the text says. Think about Jesus. That's what the word consider in our text this morning really means. It means to think about, to reason, to dwell on, to ponder. And dear friends in Christ, is it not true that real thinking is at a premium in our society today? And is it not true that real thinking is at a premium in the Church of Jesus Christ today? For some reason in the church we have this idea that we can hang our hats at the door when we come in the church and our brains can stay in our hats. And we don't have to think about the things of the faith of Jesus Christ. And part of what this comes out of is a philosophy, a view of reality that is firmly attached to materialism. That our view of reality is such a materialistic view that faith has no reality in this world. That there are no real evidences of God in this world. That there are no real evidences that we can hang our hook on as far as understanding Jesus Christ in this world. Faith is a leap of faith, a leap in the dark. That's not true. We also see this lack of thinking, it seems to me, in the fact that we live in an entertainment, sports-crazed society. Now, again, I have to qualify this because I'm not against athletics. You know that that's the case. I enjoy a good football game and a good basketball game as much as the other fellow enjoys a good basketball game and a good football game. But you know, it's interesting that these things have ultimately taken over our society, and entertainment is now news. And there are special programs on TV, entertainment news. It's not enough to be entertained. We have to have news about the entertainment. It's really interesting. I think it was yesterday or the day before we saw a new commercial on television that involved Michael Jordan. And the commercial is a view of him slam dunking the basketball, and he stands under the basket after he's performed his feat, and he says something like this: "I jam, therefore I am." You know, that's the essence of it. The Bible says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. But not in our society today. And who is it that young people look to? They look to the sports figures and the entertainment figures. Not too long ago, I read this little book called Amusing Ourselves to Death. And let me read you a couple of paragraphs out of this little book. I was fascinated because it talks about the reading habits of individuals in early America. It says, between 1682 and 1685, Boston's leading bookseller imported 3,421 books from one English dealer. Most of these non-religious books, the meaning of this fact may be appreciated when one adds that these books were intended for the consumption of approximately 75,000 people then living in the northern colonies. The modern, get this now, the modern equivalent would be 10 million books. I think that's rather startling. Here's another paragraph. We need not be surprised that Thomas Paine's Common Sense, published on January 10, 1776, sold more than 100,000 copies by March of the same year. In 1985, a book would have had to sell 8 million copies in 2 months to match the proportion of the population Paine's book attracted. 10 million copies in 2 months. You know, a publisher thinks he's doing real well if he sells 100,000 copies in a short time. It's amazing. And the point is, dear friends, the point is that our society is an entertainment-crazed society, and there's less thinking, real thinking, going on in our society today. And the text which is before us encourages us, not only encourages us, but exhorts us to think about Jesus. To think about Him. And the word which is translated consider is a compound word. And this is real interesting too. It's a compound word which has a prefix on it, which could be translated up or something like that. And similar compound words, well, if you put this prefix with the word stand, it would be stand up. And if you put this prefix with the word go, it would mean go up. And I think what the writer to the Hebrews is getting at here is that we need to elevate our thinking. We need to lift our thinking. Our thinking needs to be upward. Consider Jesus. That's what he's talking about. This is an amazing thing. And I'm suggesting to you an exercise this year. An exercise to help all of us more thoroughly think about Jesus. And the exercise is a very simple one. I just briefly went through the Gospels, and as you know, I trust there are 28 chapters in the book of Matthew, and there are 16 chapters in the book of Mark, and there are 24 chapters in the book of Luke, and there are 21 chapters in the book of John. That's 89 chapters. And so if you divide that by 3, you get a little less than 3. Or if you divide that by 30, you get a little less than 3 chapters a day. If you read 3 chapters a day, you will get through the 4 Gospels in a month. And that means you could read the 4 Gospels 12 times in a year's time. And I'm suggesting that we all do that together. And that we take as a guiding text in this exercise, Hebrews 12, verse 3. For consider Him, consider Jesus. And as we read those Gospels, we think through who Jesus is and why He came into this world. Now that's a practical thing, it seems to me, that we can do. And I hope that we will all do it together. And I trust that as we do this together, something profound will take place. Because first of all, if we go through a little exercise like this, we're going to find, as the text lays out before us, that Jesus Christ endured much hostility at the hands of sinners. That's plain in the Gospels. And the key here is that He endured. Verse 3 in chapter 12. For consider Him who has endured such hostility by sinners against Himself. You see, friends, one of the keys, not only to this text, but to the book of Hebrews, is this concept of endurance. The book of Hebrews is written to a group of Christians as an exhortation. Look at Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 22. Hebrews 13, 22. But I urge you, brethren, bear with this word of exhortation, for I have written to you briefly. It's a word of exhortation. Now, why is this a word of exhortation? There was danger that these Christians, these Hebrews, would be drifting away from Jesus Christ. And so the writer to the Hebrews has patiently set Jesus Christ before these people. Jesus Christ as superior to the angels. Jesus Christ as superior to Aaron. Jesus Christ as superior to Moses. The institutions of Jesus Christ and His sacrifice as superior to the old Hebrew sacrifices. And He's urging these Hebrew Christians not to drift away from Jesus Christ. Turn back, if you would, to chapter 10 of the book of Hebrews. And you find very clearly this theme of endurance. Hebrews 10:32, but remember the former days when you were... Again, but remember the former days when after being enlightened you endured a great conflict of suffering. Having been enlightened by the Holy Spirit, you took a stand for Jesus Christ and you endured conflict of suffering. Verse 36 says, for you have need of endurance so that when you have done the will of God you may receive what was promised. We all have a need of endurance. This is one of the keys to the book, and this is one of the keys of the Christian life, an enduring faith. And this is what the writer to the Hebrews lays before us in Hebrews chapter 11. We don't just have heroes of faith in Hebrews chapter 11, we have examples of individuals who displayed an enduring faith, a faith which endured through up times and down times, through trial and tribulation, and through joy and through sorrow. And in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, the writer to the Hebrews looks back at those who are found in Hebrews chapter 11, and look what he says, Hebrews 12, 1. Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and sin which so easily entangles, and let us run with endurance the race which is set before us. Since there is such a great cloud of witnesses, people who have gone before us, who have endured in the faith, let us also run with endurance the race which is set before us. And how are we going to do that? Verse 2 says, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of the majesty of God. For consider him who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself. You see, the example of Jesus Christ is now set before us. He endured hostility at the hands of sinners. And we too are expected to do the same. Well, given that this is the fact, it seems to me that when you read the Gospels once again, you're going to see Jesus. And you should not only see Jesus in those Gospels, but you should think about his life and his death and his resurrection. And you should ponder him. Friends, we're going to be in the same circumstance as Jesus found himself in. If we take a stand for Jesus, we are. And as we continue to see in our culture a deterioration of moral standards, individuals who are willing to be counted for Jesus Christ are going to meet hostility at the hands of unbelievers. It's a sad thing that in the news, what was it, last week, that we saw those clips of the shootings around Century 2 in Wichita. There'd been a teen dance down there. And something like 2,000 young people were involved in that dance, and some young people had guns and they went in there and started shooting. And we ask ourselves the question, why? I'll tell you why. You're going to see that sort of thing, friends, when morality is taken away from the educational system. When the Bible and the Ten Commandments is taken away from the educational system. When prayer is taken away from the educational system. And right and wrong is not taught in the schoolroom in a firm and solid way. And when little regard for human life is taught in the classroom at the same time, and the abomination of abortion is pushed upon young people, how in the world can you expect individuals to exalt human life when there is this downward trend continually in what young people are taught, you can expect young people to take guns and shoot one another. We're reaping the fruit of what we have sown in this regard. It's interesting. I don't know if you read it in our bulletin this morning. I didn't put this in here. Harry Wilkie put this in here. There's a little note about education. What is education? And he has a quote from Charles Hodge. He says, Mr. Charles Hodge writes, "This whole process of education is to be religious, not only religious, but Christian. And as Christianity is the only true religion and God in Christ, the only true God, the only possible means of profitable education is the nurture and admonition of the Lord." You can't take Christianity away from young people and expect them to live by high moral standards. And if an individual stands up even within Christian circles today and says, "Listen, we need to exalt Jesus Christ and what He stands for in education," do you know what he gets? Jeers and hostility. Let me give you another example. A young man playing football at Geneva College said to me, "You know, when I went out to do my exercises before football practice, the common thing among the young men was to tell dirty jokes. And when I said to them something about Jesus Christ, they said to me, 'We don't want to hear that crap. We're not here for that. We're here to play football.'" If you stand up for Jesus Christ, you're going to take it on the chin. And you need endurance to do that, friends. You need endurance to do that. Look at the text again. "For consider him who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you may not grow weary and lose heart." So that you may not grow weary and lose heart. Consider Jesus. Why is it so important for you to think about Jesus? And think about what He endured and the hostility He endured, so that you will not lose heart and be discouraged, the writer to the Hebrews says. You see, here we have a divine procedure which is set before us. You must think about Jesus so that you will not become discouraged. Terribly important. Literally, this text says, listen to this now. Literally, the text says, "In order that you might not be discouraged being weary in your souls." In order that you may not be discouraged being weary in your souls. The same word which is translated weary in the New American Standard Version, and I think it's the NIV and "be wearied" in the King James Version. It's interesting because it could be translated "sick" or "become ill" or "to be depressed." And there's an interplay there that people who become depressed, their immune systems are affected and they're more likely to become ill. And people who are ill are more likely over a long period of time to become depressed. And there is a linkage in the use of the words in the Bible here. It's very interesting how that comes about. And it's very interesting that in our lives very often we become discouraged and we become weary in our souls. I remember that happening to me. I remember that happening to me where I was on committees in the church and I was in a situation where I was asked to help a fellow who had been caught in the sin of homosexuality. And I was asked to appear with him before the elders of the church. And he was repentant. And he was begging forgiveness. And I had to convince those people to give this guy forgiveness. And I was a chairman of a couple of other committees. And I was bone tired. And I finally said to one of the other fellows after the business was over, "We're leaving. I can't handle it anymore. Got to get out of here." You need endurance. And that's what the text is about, you see. Look at verse 3 in Hebrews 12 again. "For consider him who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you may not grow weary and lose heart." You see, the divine procedure is simple. That to think about Jesus is a way God uses to produce in us an enduring faith. We wonder sometimes why it is that we come to the end of our rope and there's no knot at the end of the rope for us to cling on to. The problem has been along the line that we have not been faithful in thinking about Jesus. That's the problem. And so, that's one of the reasons I'm laying before you at this time the little challenge that I've given you. To read the Gospels through, the four Gospels through, once a month in this coming year. And to use as a guide Hebrews chapter 12, verse 3. Consider him who endured such hostility by sinners against himself. And the purpose is so that you may not grow weary and lose heart. You get the connection? It's vital. Will you do it? Well, we do it together by the grace of God. And will we, by the grace of God, find ourselves in the situation at the end of this year where God has been gracious and we have not grown weary, as has happened in the past?